Holy Spirit, come among us now. And in our inadequate words and our scattered attention, remind us that you are here and that these are holy moments. Amen. So, who was paying attention during that long first reading this morning? Be honest. See, the lectionary only called for us to read verses 9b through 14 from Isaiah chapter 58, but I thought it made much more sense to read all of chapter 58, thank you, rather than picking up right in the middle. So you got an extra 8.5 verses at no extra charge. In this short chapter from Isaiah, we hear the familiar prophetic refrain that what God really wants from God's people, what will really make God's people great, is not correct and pious worship, but instead to loose the bonds of injustice, to let the oppressed go free, to share bread with the hungry, to cover the naked, to satisfy the needs of the afflicted. Isaiah tells us that these acts of compassion and justice are the things that show true devotion to God, not fasting just for the sake of fasting. And these themes are not unique to Isaiah. They recur over and over and over again in the mouths of the prophets. The prophet Jeremiah tells Israel, "Thus says the Lord, do justice and righteousness, and deliver from the hand of the oppressor the one who has been robbed. And do no wrong or violence to the resident alien, the fatherless, and the widow." God tells Israel through the prophet Amos in that beautiful and well-known passage from Amos 5, I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And then in the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, Jesus quotes Isaiah when he says that his whole purpose for having come is to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. My preaching professor, Dr. Ted Smith, says that the goal of the preacher on any given Sunday is to say one true thing about God and then sit down. And I have to admit, I find that easier said than done most times that I get up here. But the fact that these themes of justice for the oppressed and comfort for the afflicted occur over and over and over throughout the Bible, both the Old and the New Testaments, tells us something true about who God is and what God values. Isaiah chapter 58 occurs in the section of the book that scholars refer to as Third Isaiah. Third Isaiah is addressed to post-exilic Israel. After having been exiled from their homeland by the Babylonians for 50 years, the inhabitants of Judah have finally been allowed by the Emperor Cyrus to come home. But their homecoming is anything but triumphant. They return, like so many other victims of empire, to find their homeland, this place that they believed had been promised to them and to their descendants by God, was completely unrecognizable. Their temple is destroyed. Their national identity is in question because, while in exile, many people intermarried with people of other cultures. So there's this question of whether to incorporate these non-Jews into the community, and if so, how? The people are overwhelmed by the seemingly insurmountable task of regaining and reclaiming the greatness of their once great nation. They're overwhelmed with trying to determine the reason for their destruction and exile so that they can prevent it from happening again. They're overwhelmed with figuring out what it means to be a chosen people in a multicultural post-exilic world. So they do the only thing that they can think of to do. They double down on their worship of God. They do extra fasting and humbling themselves and self-abasement in order to recapture God's attention and to curry God's favor. But it doesn't work. Why do we fast and you do not see, the people cry out? Why humble ourselves and you don't notice? The people think they're doing everything that they're supposed to be doing. Their worship is impeccable. They're fasting even more than the Torah requires them to. The choir sounds great. The organ is in tune. The altar linens are clean and pressed. But the temple still lies in ruins. There's still discord in the community. The people still feel abandoned by their God. And then God says to Isaiah, "Lift up your voice like a trumpet and announce to my people their rebellion. Day after day they seek me as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God." The people are serving their own interests with their piety and fasting, says Isaiah, because while they're fasting and worshiping and delighting and seeking after God, they're still oppressing their workers. While they're fasting and worshiping, they're still arguing amongst themselves about who really belongs and who does not. In their fasting and worshiping, they're pursuing God as if they are committed to God, but their behavior says otherwise. They're not acting towards others as they hope God will act towards them. Their fasting, their songs, their sacrifices, their fancy altar furnishings, none of those things on their own are pleasing in God's sight. The worship that is pleasing to God, says Isaiah, is worship that leads to the loosing of the bonds of injustice. Letting the oppressed go free, sharing bread with the hungry, welcoming the poor into their homes, and satisfying the needs of the afflicted. The worship that is pleasing to God is worship that leads to action that fosters well-being and abundance among all of God's people. In the year that I have been here at St. Bede's, you've taught me much about worship that is pleasing to God. I don't know if I've ever been a part of a community whose worship life translates so immediately and directly into service with and for those in any kind of need. From the robust and thriving ESL program, to delivering the ingredients for Thanksgiving dinner, to our friends in Peoplestown, to marching in solidarity with undocumented immigrants, to the authentic and intentional welcome of those for whom other churches have become unsafe spaces, St. Bede's is a place that worships through action. Some of those actions might make some of us uncomfortable at times. Some of us might sit with gritted teeth through sermons about immigration or poverty or race or through announcements about the next visit to Stewart Detention Center. And that's okay. It's okay to wish for this hour and change on a Sunday morning to be a respite from the politics and the headlines and the tweets and the editorials telling us how we should think and what we should be outraged about today. It's okay to just want to sit and rest in the rituals for a while. And sometimes that's all we can do. But if that's always all that we do, then our worship is incomplete. As you know, between the end of communion and the post-communion prayer here at St. Bede's, we have announcement time. And until recently, I thought that that was a very odd place to put the announcements, because it interrupts the flow of our worship, right? We've done this wonderful communion. We need to remain in our reverence into the post-communion prayer. And if I see more than two or three people up here at announcement time, I get really uncomfortable. But then I realized that almost all of the announcements that people stand up to give are about the ways in which we can carry our worship out into the world by serving each other and our community. These things that people announce are not in addition to our worship. They are our worship. And I would argue that they are the portions of our worship that are the most pleasing to God. Without them, our worship would be incomplete. And so the announcements are right where they should be. Y'all have heard me talk a good bit about my experience as a chaplain at Atlanta Medical Center last summer during my CPE unit. And I'll stop talking about it someday, but not today. About halfway through the summer, I realized I felt as though my personal prayer life had just sort of dried up. I was completely exhausted, both spiritually and emotionally, from standing in the stream of evil and calamity that befall God's people day in and day out. And all I wanted to do when I got home from a long shift at the hospital was just to make a drink and zone out in front of some mindless television. When I mentioned this to my supervisor, Patricia, she said, "What do you think you're doing when you're holding the hand of someone while they die?" She said, "What do you think you're doing when you grab the hand of a trauma patient and look them in the eye and say, 'You're safe now'? What do you think you're doing when you hold the parent of an adult child who has just died of an overdose?" That's prayer. And she said, "I would argue that it's a lot more effective prayer than some sort of monologue that you feel obligated to direct towards God." And she was right. And as I began to live into the concept of being with people as a form of prayer, I began to connect with and experience God in closer and more intimate ways than I had ever imagined. I stopped feeling guilty for feeling like my prayer life was in a rut, and I opened my eyes to the fact that opportunities for prayer were all around me every day. And the same is true here at St. Bede's when we embrace and live into the concept of worship as actions that embody compassion and justice. When we approach worship in this way, we see that the opportunities for true worship that is pleasing to God are all around us every day. Our God is a God who loves all of us so much that God considers it worship when one of us reaches out to another in solidarity and compassion. God loves us all so much that God considers it true and right worship when we try to ease each other's burdens. God considers it true and right worship when we stand up to laws that denigrate and dehumanize. God considers it true and right worship when we cover others with our privilege. God considers it true and right worship when we work together to make our unjust streets livable for all of God's people. And so may we at St. Bede's continue to strive for worship that is pleasing to God, so that we too may be called repairers of the breach and restorers of streets to live in. Amen.